Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. There is some breaking news this morning, gentlemen. Key, J., Tom Brady has agreed to join Fox Sports as its lead NFL analyst whenever he stops playing, Lachlan Murdoch announced. So, Tom Brady, like, I gotta say, I am surprised by this. I always thought, Key, of Tom Brady like Kobe or MJ or Jeter or one of these guys that was like too big for the broadcasting booth. Like, he'd have to go straight into ownership. And I am genuinely surprised by this.
I'm not surprised. He's a quarterback. Fox has an opening. Fits right up his alley. They just think about the amount of money that they're throwing at lead analysts. And so I'm not surprised about it at all. Think about it. Shaq is doing television. Barkley does television. When you start thinking about bigger, larger-than-life type guys, yeah, but Michael Jordan, Brady is different than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is a whole nother – that's a whole nother animal. So
– I don't see LeBron doing it. I could never – I see Shaq doing it. I couldn't see Kobe.
But that's different, though. Them dudes is different. We like Brady. We love Brady. Brady's won championships. But when you're talking about that different level of basketball with Jordan and LeBron and Kobe, that's just different. It's different. Tiger Woods.
How? I could see A-Rod doing it. I couldn't see Jeter. There's some dudes who just seem to me to be above or removed from the rest of the league. They're like glorified beyond where other guys are.
One, Jaden, you say how? Mm-hmm. First of all them other dudes I just talked about, we're talking creeping up billion dollar. Mm-hmm. Both on and off the court combined during their playing days, right? LeBron James closing in on a billion. Michael Jordan closed in on a billion and surpassed it. Tennis shoe. It's just a different.
Different. Those are investments that are made known to the public. It doesn't mean that Tom Brady can't be flirting with the same net worth in what he's done
I'm not talking about his net worth. I'm talking about what they accomplished on the field and off the field as a sport, in their respective sports is what I'm talking about, not what his finances look like. When guys like that have made in a sport so much money, it's just like, I got other things to do.
Let's what is the motivation for Brady? One, 20, $25 million a year, I get it, but whatever it is. But in addition to that, it seems to me that Brady's next step is TB12 as a brand, right? Post football. So maybe, I'm just glossing over the fact he loves football. I'm sure he wants to be a part of it and all that, but it keeps him in the public eye on a huge TV show, right?
But you got to also think about what you just said is football. Football individually is not basketball, no matter how great you are in the sport of football. Mm-hmm. It's not basketball. It's not golf. Individually, it's not looked at as the same. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback to ever play, 6 championships, but it's not looked at as the same as basketball.
You mean as an individual star?
As an individual star. Uh-huh, it's just uh-huh. not. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, Jay may argue with me and say, well, Brady's the biggest star. He's not at the same level as those dudes. I don't care what nobody trying to tell me.
Right. Right.
It feels like with him, Strahan, that crew, it's like almost. You know, it's funny, because naturally when I saw this, you're like, man, what is Tom Brady going to be, being critical of players? Like, no, I feel like Tom Brady is going to be kicking it with his boys. Mm-hmm. Just kind of shooting it. You know what I mean? Oh, this is what I see. Like, it's almost like a layup for him just to stay visible. It's the same thing as a Barkley or a Shaquille O'Neal, or I even made the mention of Grant Hill owns part of the Atlanta Hawks. You know, so he can still be owner. He can probably leverage it for what he wants, for other opportunities.
He'll be critical of guys. Everybody is. Troy Aikman, who's joined us for Monday Night Football, Hall of Fame Troy Aikman, Super Bowl 3-time winning champion Troy Aikman, very critical when he needs to be. Tony Romo, critical when they need to be. When you are doing a job, to be successful at that job, you cannot have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. That is how guys that retire fail at doing this, because they get afraid of telling what they really see and trying to protect their friendships or whatever their respect level that they have from these guys. They try to protect them. You cannot do that, Jay. You know better than that.
Yeah, Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio. We are responding to the – we're reacting to the news, the breaking news, that Tom Brady has agreed to join the Fox broadcast team post-career. Like, once he retires, he will be broadcasting football. And I guess also what it boils down to, guys, is do you have an engaging personality, right? Like, those are the guys like – Charles Barkley is the best example. Charles Barkley is just interesting to watch and listen to. Whether you agree with him or not, or thinks he's sounding crazy or he's not paying attention, whatever it is, he's just a star. Tom, you know, like, Barkley is a star personality. Shaq has always been glib and funny in the life of the party, right? And Tom Brady has shown increasingly, especially away from the Patriots, a public-facing side of himself that is fun, right? Like, he's having a good time. And, I you know, that plays on TV.
Yeah, I think he'll do a good job, though. I like him in this role. I mean, you know, he is a, from what I know, known him early on in his career, he is a relentless worker. And when you call games, you got to work at it. You got to be involved. You know, you got to be involved. You got to go to the practices. You got to do it. So it'll be interesting to see if, in fact, we look up 2 years from now and Tom Brady decides to do something different.
Or, Key, would it be 3 years from now? Because they have the Super Bowl this year, then not the following year, but then the year after that. So 2025. Does Tom Brady call the 2025 the Super Bowl in 2025?
I guess, unless Greg – I think Greg Olsen is in the number one team now, if I'm not mistaken. And if that's the case,
he's the front runner for it. It hasn't been announced yet, but Greg Olsen will likely call the Super Bowl this year with Kevin Burkhardt. Yeah.
So if Greg Olsen is likely calling the Super Bowl this year, and now he sees this announcement of Tom Brady, I wonder how he feels.
What does Tom Brady know about the Super Bowl anyway?
Just secure your bag if you're Greg. I mean, you can't focus on other people.
No, but if telling you that whenever Tom Brady steps down from playing football, he slides into the number one role, and you've been working to get that number one role, and then all of a sudden Troy Aikman leaves and you're slid into that number one slot. And, you know, it's like, damn, I've been working this all this time to do this, and now here comes terrific Tom getting ready to snatch my bag from
me. Do you see Tom calling games, or do you see him more like sitting there with the Sunday crew kind of going over
they announced lead NFL analyst with Kevin Burkhardt.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the NFL's got to feel good that Brady will still be a part of the Super Bowl, right? Like, he's been a part. Tom Brady has been a big part of the Super Bowl since the turn of this century. We're in the third decade of this century, and he's basically been in half of all Super Bowls played and won a third of them. Like, it's nuts. And now, Key, he's still a part of it, right? He feels like he ought to be.
And at some point, they'll be like, Tom Brady has played or called every single Super Bowl in these stadiums.
That's right. That's right. Tom Brady's been involved.
This is Tom Brady's – look, they'll be like, this is Tom Brady's 12th Super Bowl appearance in Raymond James Stadium.
By the year 2050, it's going to be Tom Brady, the bicentennial, the half-century mark, and blah, blah, blah. And Tom Brady has either played in or announced, you know, 90% of all Super Bowls. It's be insane.
Key, I want to go back to a point that you just made before, because I think after spending some time thinking about it, I would disagree. Do you think people want to hear
which part?
Do you think people would want to hear Michael Jordan or LeBron James break down games as much as the world will want to hear Tom Brady break down games? Like, you said that you don't think Tom is big of a star as Michael or LeBron, and I would really disagree with that. I think he's bigger.
You think he's bigger than Michael and LeBron?
I think he's bigger than LeBron. I think Michael, obviously, because of Brand Jordan. But, I mean, we
– no, he's not bigger than LeBron.
I don't know about that. LeBron, you guys, every single day, there could be the biggest stories related to basketball. We will talk football first.
Yeah, but football, football is bigger than than basketball in the United States.
Football is bigger than the NBA.
But the biggest bigger stars are basketball stars.
Internationally. 100%. How about in the United States?
And I don't even play the sport. I play football.
I don't know about that in the U.S.
Individually, I'll tell you, individually, Jay.
You're saying
basketball superstars individually are bigger than NFL superstars.
I'm not talking about NFL superstars.
Bigger than the NBA.
I'm talking about Tom Brady, who transcends football, who is different. Tom Brady, you can make Tom Brady is more famous than
LeBron James. Tom Brady doesn't transcend football, Jay.
What are you talking about?
Tom Brady don't transcend football.
He's the greatest football player to ever live. What are you talking about?
Just because
he's
the greatest quarterback
to
ever live doesn't mean that he doesn't transcend.
You're telling me
Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, and them, those are the dudes that transcend basketball.
Tom Brady's bigger than Steph Curry.
In sport.
Tom Brady's bigger than Steph Curry.
All right, man, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to let you. He ain't bigger than Steph Curry in my eyes. Because Tom Brady,
LeBron's bigger than Tom Brady for sure.
If Tom Brady's
walked out in the United States.
Keyshawn. No, Jay.
Jay Willimax is brought to you by Nature Valley. The best way to listen to music is at a concert in the front row, and the best way to eat a Nature Valley crunchy bar is outside. Somehow, it makes the crunch even crunchier and the whole grains even whole grainier. See for yourself with Nature Valley. Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, ESPN Radio, two-time national champion head coach, Bill Self. By the way, Coach K, oh, he's the greatest. Then he retires, and then, well, it's either Jay Wright or Bill Self. Jay Wright's gone, so I guess it's not either anymore. This is the best coach in the game, Bill Self, giving you the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
I kind of feel like that was a backhanded
compliment. Wasn't backhanded at all. I'm saying
there was a debate. By default, Bill.
Coach.
Yeah, exactly.
Coach.
Exactly.
What I'm saying.
I'd throw a few more in there that I could definitely back into that as well, even more.
I don't think so. I think that the argument was coming down once Coach K retired, Coach, to after you won your second national title, who's going to be considered the best coach in the game now? Bill Self or Jay Wright? Well, I mean, if that was the argument, what's the argument now? What's it been like since you won your second title?
It's been pretty good. Yeah, it's been pretty good. We've been on a cloud floating around, and we're coming off of it now, but we had an opportunity to bring our staff up here to New York City for the Wingfoot Award tonight, so we're still floating.
How was it winning it, man? I mean, it's been a while. It was 2008. Was it Mario Chalmers? I remember that game. It was incredible. But you've been close so many times. Take me through what that moment was like for you.
Well, this year I think meant actually a little more than 08. You know, winning it is fabulous, an unbelievable feeling. You know, you went through it. Mm-hmm. But to win it where maybe there were some things outside the basketball that – you know, my father passing, you know, just a little bit earlier and some things like that I think made this one even more special, if that's possible. But, you know, winning at any time is just the most unbelievable feeling. But one thing I will say, you know, the wins never feel as good as the losses feel bad. Never. Until that one win. And that one win makes it feel better than all the losses combined felt bad. So, but a lot of heartache to get there, but certainly it was worth it. Mm.
So, no surprise announcements coming from you, right? You're still coaching.
We still got
Bill Self around, right?
Yeah. As of the end of the month, I was still employed. So, I plan on being around for a while. I don't know how much longer I'll do it. As you guys have talked about probably many times, our game's changing, and it's changing in a big way. So. But certainly right now there's so much uncertainty in our game, but one thing is certain, you know, it's still coaching basketball.
Bill, the last several months have been so intriguing to me, right? Because obviously on this show we cover all sports. Mm-hmm. We talk about college football, NFL. Lane Kiffin, head coach of Ole Miss, picking up people in Rolls Royces, and the whole NIL game and how that's changed and the transfer rules. I mean, how do you continue to adapt to all that entering this new age?
Well, I don't know that I have anything figured out now. I think it's so inexact right now that nobody knows what it's going to look like a year from now or 2 years from now or whatever. The appearance is that it's out of control, and I totally agree with that. I don't know how to put genie back in the bottle, though. I know the NCAA came up with some stuff yesterday. You guys may have talked about some to try to monitor some things where it reduces the opportunities for recruiting incentives or inducements. But I don't know how you do this moving forward. The portal, in theory, freedom of movement, you know, that's great. There's so many unintended consequences that's come with the portal, and now that with NIL being so real and prevalent, it's a different look than what I think everybody anticipated it being. I also believe this. I also think the uncertainty of it today leads for everyone being uncomfortable, but we'll get through it. I mean, we'll get through it. Our game will survive. College athletics will survive in some way, shape, or form. And certainly we won't be talking about it in the same way 2 years from now we're talking about it now, I don't believe. Hmm.
The head coach, Bill Self, joining us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. Coach, one of your great players from Kansas and Joel Embiid didn't receive the MVP trophy this year, which I thought he should. How disappointing is that for you to see him not get that?
Well, it's disappointing. I personally think he's going to have more opportunities to win it moving forward. I don't talk to Joe all the time, but, you know, we talk enough to know that, you know, that would have meant a lot to him. It certainly would have meant a lot to our school to be able to promote that the MVP of the league is from Kansas. But I think so much is put into these awards, but in no way, shape, or form does that, in my mind, define what kind of player the guy is. I mean, so he's been runner-up now. Is that 2 years in a row?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's already had a Hall of Fame-type career. And I still think he's scratching the surface of what he can be. So I don't know that, you know, Jokic deserved it. I mean, he had an unbelievable year. But still, though, to me, when you think about the best five players in the world, Joel Embiid is definitely one of them.
I feel like sometimes we lose sight of that because you get so fixated on who's the MVP that you don't talk about. You're still part of 0.001% of what the world can even accomplish.
You know, when I had him, he'd only played ball for 2 years. So we all knew he was 2 years. He played high school ball at Montverde for Kevin Boyle down there, and they had a youngster that went to Kentucky, Dakari Johnson. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get in the game. And so his senior year, he transfers to The Rock in Gainesville, and fortunately we had an end with him with my assistant, Norm Roberts, whose son played at The Rock when he was an assistant at Florida. So we had an end. And I watched him one time, and I told Norm he'll be the best player we ever coached.
Mm. And after why? What'd you see?
Feet, competitiveness, agility, touch, intellect. One thing that people – that don't know Joe may not realize his IQ, his intellect is off the charts. I mean, we've had, you know, Devontae Graham, Aaron Miles, some guys, Sharon Collins, that I would go down and say that they probably have as good a feel as anybody. Joel Embiid is ever bit as good as those guys from a feel standpoint. And he picks stuff up so quick. But I actually said the first day of practice, when he told me after practice, he said, "I'm not good enough. I'm going to have to redshirt." And I said, "Well, you're going to be the number one pick in the draft, so we probably don't redshirt those guys." But he was just different. He was just different. He's competitive, and so you know we're not surprised at all with his success. But I'll be honest. I didn't know that he would be, you know, arguably the best big man in the world. You know, missing 2 years of professional basketball and still coming back from that, but he is.
Can you help us settle this last debate? You heard the tail end of our conversation about Key and I's discourse on LeBron and Tom Brady. Where do you stand in this whole thing?
Well, I didn't listen to everything, but I think I'll go with Keyshawn and Max on that one, because the way that basketball players are marketed now, to me, puts them at a different level, because it's more individual than what football is as far from a marketing standpoint. And even though Tom Brady is the GOAT, and you could argue whether LeBron or MJ's the GOAT, but the bottom line from a popularity standpoint and impacting society and those sorts of things, I do think the superstar professional basketball has the edge on that.
What was that, coach?
The basketball guy taking the basketball guy. I get it.
Oh, okay.
Same here.
I just wanted to make sure coach was clear.
Yeah. Do I get the invite back to the fantasy camp? Are we doing the fantasy camp this summer?
We're doing the fantasy camp, okay. and it's going to be in, I think, late September.
Ooh.
So if you can get away from these two dudes.
Please. Steal me. Yes.
Yeah, we'll
take him.
We'll fill your weekend calendar for a time. Jay will tell you, Lawrence, Kansas.
Great place, man.
Pretty good college spot.
Well, what? The superstar of college basketball coaches, Bill Self, two-time national champion head coach. By the way, Coach Self and Dawn Staley are being awarded the prestigious Winged Foot Award, which is awarded annually to the coaches that lead their respective universities to the national championship in college basketball. Congratulations, Coach. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Enjoyed it, man.
Appreciate you, Bill.
Last time our next guest joined us, he took a giant shot at the Cleveland Browns. So what does Ryan Shazier think of the Baker Mayfield situation? That's next ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Why even continue to keep getting tackled, slammed to the ground? Damn, T.O., come on, man. You got to wake up feeling a certain way after a game.
I mean, that's anybody. It doesn't matter how old you are, but I mean, I've conditioned my body. I'm just different. I feel like there are some people out there that kind of defy the odds and they're just built different. And I'm one of those guys.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Your smart speakers say play ESPN. Bam, pop right up. Download the podcast. By the way, ESPN app. We're everywhere. Open your window. You talk loud enough. Ryan Shazier, two-time Pro Bowl linebacker with us now, former NFL Pro Bowl and Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker. Was joined fan-controlled football as an announcer for the league's broadcast across Twitch, DAZN, and NBC Peacock. What's going on, Ryan?
How you doing?
Ryan, you may need to tell Max what Twitch is, though.
Does that have something to do with the NFT?
He don't know what Twitch is. He don't play video games?
Is that something to do with the metaverse? What's going on?
Nah. It's like the metaverse for video games. Basically, it's like YouTube and video games in one. You know, you get to watch what you want to watch. Hmm. Like, you can watch kids play games, but you also can watch TV, which is pretty cool.
Hmm.
Just get like two TVs, man. What's the difference?
Jeez.
Save a little money.
Yeah, why not?
You know, so tell us about the fan-controlled football league. Because you're a broadcaster for that league, right? We have some breaking news this morning. Tom Brady is going to be the Fox Sports lead analyst when he retires. How do you think Tom's going to do in the booth?
I'm going to be honest. You know, with somebody being that great in football, And, you know, just his work ethic, for him to be considered the greatest of all time, I wouldn't be surprised if he does extremely well in the booth, because, you know, he's already knowledgeable of the game. But then, you know, he's going to get great coaching. And if he puts the same effort that he put into football, I wouldn't be surprised if he predicted plays just like Tony is, or, you know, some of the great analysts that we listen to every Sunday.
Now that you calling the fan only control league, how impressed are you with T.O. Terrell Owens and why how he's playing in this type of football?
Man, I'm really impressed, man. Because the thing is, like, when you see him warm up with the pads on and without the pads on, he looks like a physical freak, man. It's like he's really he's still looking great shape. You know, he's 48 years old, and you know, like, I'm 29, so he's basically 19 years older than me. He's still out here playing with guys, and I'll be an old head in this league. So, like, to me, it's just kind of crazy to see that, you know, that he still has the ability, but he's still capable and playing well. You know, the biggest thing is sometimes I wish the fans would get him a little bit more targets, you know, but other than that, man, T.O.'s doing a great job.
Ryan, give me the real scouting report. Key, 49. Can he still do it? You think he can still
no.
play in the league?
Hey, not, hey, like, man, you know, he was a first rounder. He got the pedigree, he got the genetics, you know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't be surprised, you know. Yeah, I'd
be surprised.
Get out there and do it.
No, Ryan. Be surprised, because I don't want no parts of it whatsoever.
Hey, now, you can get in the red zone. You know, they get one-on-ones. All you got to do is get a fade route. You know, you can catch a fade route right now.
Nope, and them walls hurt.
Speaking of a fade route, Ryan, I'm curious, what do you think about the Steelers taking Kenny Pickett with their first-round pick in the draft? You think he'll be the starter, or you think he'll be Mitchell
really
Trubisky?
I'm actually really excited, and the reason I'm excited about it is because when Kenny was at Pitt, the one thing about him is, like, he kept improving, like, every single year. And he almost improved all the way into winning the Heisman Trophy if he didn't go against, you know, Bryce Young. But the thing is, I think it's going to be good competition, good healthy competition, because Mitch Trubisky, I feel like he's a really solid quarterback. I feel like when he was in Chicago, they just didn't use him the right way. I feel like they can use him well here. So it's going to really make them compete against each other. And I think we're going to get the best out of whoever starts. So I think the Steelers had something cooking right there. And I think it's going to be a lot better season than people think it's going to be.
Ryan Shazier, two-time Pro Bowl linebacker with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ohio State Buckeye alum, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Ryan, though, but see, when I look at Mitch Trubisky, I think, much like you said, when you look at him in Chicago under that regime and Matt Nagy, everybody sour graped him, even though he went to two playoff appearances for that team. He goes to Buffalo. They all of a sudden, and Brandon Beam, who I trust a lot as a general manager, brings him in as a backup, and he swears by Mitch Trubisky turning things around and being able to get it done in Pittsburgh. So I look at him in that system in Pittsburgh and say there's no way Ryan Pickett, and watching him at Pitt, wins this job over Mitch Trubisky, who's actually played in the NFL and knows what it's all about.
So the thing is, what I'm really thinking is it's probably going to be, you know, a competition. And I think the Steelers understand, like, hey, we have Mitch Trubisky. He has the ability, you know, I don't like to say he's Patrick Mahomes or anything like that, but he plays like him. He likes to be on the run. And when he was at it in Chicago, they tried to keep him in the pocket. So I think the system is going to allow him to be on the run. But I think Kenny does that well also. So honestly, I think it's going to be a good competition because you have one guy that wants to start, that wants to get into the NFL, that was a first rounder. And another guy that was a first rounder, you know, second overall pick, and just to try to prove himself again. So when you have two guys like that's really fighting for a position, most of the times those are the best competitions. You get the best out of people. It's like normally you see competitions where a guy is older and, you know, he's trying to still fight his way into the league and he's not good enough anymore and a young buck. But I think we have two young guys right here, and I think they both showing like, hey, I'm still capable. And I can lead this team to somewhere, to the promised land.
Ryan, meantime, I get, you know, Mike Tomlin, and the Steelers are always going to compete week in, week out, year in, year out. But Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, it is a problem in the North. So is that enough, whoever wins that competition, to seriously compete for the top of that division given the quarterback quality in the division now?
This isn't the first time, you know, the Steelers had to go against the odds, you know. So I wouldn't count us out. And, you know, last year everybody thought the Browns was going to the Super Bowl, you know, and they didn't even make the playoffs. You know, so the thing is, you just never know, like, what could turn out. And also, when you have a coach that just refused to lose and wills his team to victory, and the one thing about the Steelers compared to the other teams is that from when Coach Tomlin began there until now, the staple has always been defense. So everybody's looking at these promising quarterbacks, but, you know, defense win championships and give you the opportunity to be in championships. So that's why I think the Steelers still have a good shot of being, you know, in the mix. Everybody just looking at the quarterbacks and like, hey, man, you know, they're going to win the championship or they're going to go to, you know, they can't win the division just because we have the younger guys in the division. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the Steelers end up making it to the playoffs and still have a winning record like they do every year.
Ryan, we got about 30 seconds here, but I wanted to get your thoughts on what's going on in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield.
Honestly, you know, I thought that was kind of a tricky situation. How, you know, one day, you know, we're not trading them. Then the next day, you know, you get Deshaun. And then, Dave, if you have the ability to get a top five quarterback on your team, a lot of teams are going to take that risk and get them like the Cleveland did. I just think it was kind of a weird situation to keep somebody and then also pick somebody else up. You know, so now he's like this. He's just like in limbo. You don't know what's going to happen with him. So I think it's kind of crazy what's going on over there. But that's Cleveland.
Ryan Shazier, two-time Pro Bowl linebacker, with us this morning. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate your time.
All right,
Ryan. Thank you, guys.
So Ryan has joined fan-controlled football as an announcer for the league's broadcast across Twitch, DAZN, and NBC Peacock. Tom Brady, meantime, is apparently also going to join a broadcast after he retires.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So I'm looking on Twitter last night, guys, or yesterday at some point, and I see Rex Chapman retweeted this thing about this race that this kid, this little girl, lost her shoe in the race and had to go all the way back to get her shoe, and every, you know, all the other little girls are running up ahead, puts on her shoe and still dusts everybody. Probably gave him at least a full five-second head start, dusts everybody. And then I see on the follow-up tweet, it's Terrence Bud Crawford, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. It's his daughter. Oh, do you understand that the rest of us, the civilians of planet Earth nowadays, there's no chance. If you think your kid, oh, my kid's going to grow up and play tennis. Yeah, really? Did his mom run track and his dad play football? Because athletes are into second and third generation athletes nowadays. It's nuts.
No, that's true. But, you know, there's some athletes, kids, though, is not as athletic. There are some athletes that were good at their sport, Jay. Yeah. When you see that kid, you go, well, what happened? Certainly didn't get that gene from them.
But, Kev, you see the video, the fact that this girl, you know, most times what you would think a kid would do is if they start a race,
they
and
stop.
Their shoe pops off, yeah. Or that, or you just keep running, right? Yeah, like, oh, I'll just keep going. Like, we'll figure it out. Like, everybody understands. This girl stopped, turned around, ran back to get her shoe, put her shoe on, and then start running again and caught everybody and won it by a decent margin.
Oh, phone gone.
By the way, That's what Terrence Crawford fights like, too. Early in the fight, the competition thinks they have a chance, and you're like, oh, this is it. And then he knocks him out, right? Chip off the old block. Let all these other kids think that they might have a chance to win. Nah, you ain't got a chance.
Yeah, but Key, I'm with you. For every athlete that has a kid that is super athletic, there are a lot of athletes who have kids. You look at them and they're like, it's Man, stay with it.
Exactly. I mean, fortunate enough for me, my kids have always been pretty good in the sports and stuff like that. I was at my daughter's volleyball game the other day, and she's 12 years old. She's playing volleyball, and I'm just looking at her, you know, and I'm looking at her. And I'm saying to myself, once she takes this serious, she's going to be really good. And then I'm looking at somebody else's kids, and God, please forgive me. I said, why? I just said, sitting there myself, I said, why? Well, you screaming at the top of your lungs like they're not good, you know? And then it's just, it's weird.
Here's the question, because I see a lot of former athletes, they look for an athletic mate, right? Like you want that next generation. Have you ever seen someone who's not so good when the former athlete actually looks for another athlete to make an athlete and it still doesn't work?
No, most athletes that's dual, they
usually you're gonna be all right
with some sort of athletic background, Jay. Some.
Yeah, some. Right.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Diane Urusini, ladies and gentlemen. Who's the best quarterback in the NFL last 2 years on third and fourth down? Who got more offensive line help? Who has the height, speed, arm, accuracy? Who threw 38 touchdowns last year? I'm going to say it right now. Justin Herbert will win MVP this year.
I think
Max Kellerman, did you just guarantee that Justin
Herbert's going to win MVP?
He got a first win the damn enough games to get into the damn playoffs.
He's going to do that, too.
His coach is going to lose four games on his own.
Or they might win. Those decisions might work out next time.
Guy, your thoughts?
Billy, you're so stupid.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. All I know is Justin Herbert threw 30-plus touchdowns as a rookie, 4,300 yards, won six games. Second year, 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns, won nine games. It's trending in the right direction.
So third year, it'll be 7,000 yards, 60 touchdowns, two interceptions, and no playoff games.
No, this year he's going to make the playoffs. I'm going to go out and say.
Win something.
He's going to. But it's his third year. He's to pretend that, like, well, he hasn't won anything, therefore he'll never win anything is ridiculous. You see how it's going. He's also.
Max, don't look at the statistics, please.
He's the best. Okay, eyeball test backs up the stats. Best third down and fourth down quarterback in the league. He's 6'6", fast, rocket arm, pinpoint accuracy. Like, what do you want from the guy?
Third down conversions best in the league because they coming from behind. They got to keep converting to stay alive.
Well, he's doing it, though.
But I'm just telling you, that's why when you get those statistics, that's why I always say don't look at the statistics because that statistics aren't really telling you the
truth. Okay, what's your eyeballs tell you when you look at Justin Herbert?
He's a really good quarterback. I don't think he's going to win MVP. I don't think he's an MVP level quarterback yet.
What kind of year does he need to have, in your opinion, to win MVP, Max?
I think I agree. His team has to make the playoffs. He's got to throw. I think he's going to throw 45 touchdowns this year.
Not just make the playoffs. He has to win a division.
I don't know. I don't think the AFC West. You don't have to win the division to be MVP. You make the playoffs in that division, you're good.
That division is loaded, kid. That's the problem.
No, you got to win your division. Nobody's getting an MVP without winning their division.
Well, actually, we should look that up. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it is true, but I don't know. And this
you're
is
not getting an MVP without winning your division. I don't need to look it up.
This is a special circumstance. Like, look at the AFC West. My God, if you make the playoffs, good enough.
Yeah, I think that's a hard get for Justin. I think it's a hard get.
I think.
It's okay. Let Max.
I think 45 touchdowns might be conservative.
You go ahead and dive in the ocean by yourself.
But I'm in there. Water's great. You should jump in.
It was this morning when it happened, though, because it came out of our first segment. He's like, it just dawned on me. He's going to get MVP.
Yeah,
in his head earlier. It was like watching The Matrix in real time.
Yeah, because a lot of times guys make a big jump year two to three. And he was so great. He's one of the greatest rookies who ever lived. right, in the NFL. And he got, and it's like, well, he might regress a little year two. No, he got significantly better year two. And a lot of times the big jump is 2 to 3, which I think is going to happen, Key, the way they just, they got him an offensive lineman. He's got the weapons.
If you haven't figured out Max by now, his brain, all that stuff goes to the front of his brain, and it doesn't want to seep out, then all of a sudden it explodes. And that's what happened this morning. It was all, it was the thought of Justin Herbert's MVP, MVP, MVP. It was, he was thinking it the whole time.
The whole time, on the list.
And then when Diana got in there, it was at the top of the forefront of the brain, and it just exploded. He didn't really mean to say it, but once he got out there, he couldn't take it back.
I realized it would be perceived as a hot take. He didn't really mean to say it.
There's no way possible you're ever going to convince me you really meant to say that.
I did, because it started with your list. You didn't have Justin Herbert on your MVP list. And I thought, nah, he should be on the list. And then I started thinking about, who do I really think is going to win MVP? And it occurred to me, Herbert is already so good. If he takes a step forward and they make the playoffs, it's going to be impossible to not give it to him. And I think that's going to happen.
Was Joe Burrow good?
Yeah, real good.
And he went to the Super Bowl. He didn't get a sniff.
But it was his first full season, Key, and he didn't put up those numbers quite, right? But Herbert is in line to put up.
Super Bowl.
You realize Herbert, if he gets better yards and touchdowns, which could easily happen, we're talking about easily 40-plus touchdowns and, what, 50? What is it going to, 5,500 yards?
It wasn't Josh Allen's first year, and he didn't get a sniff, really.
Right, but Josh Allen, think about it. Think of where Josh Allen was year one, year two, year three. Justin Herbert, year one, is already basically as good as Josh Allen.
But he's still year one, and now he's year three coming in. He was in front of us in year one and two. And in year three, he still didn't get a sniff. In year four, he didn't get a sniff.
Yeah, but he wasn't like Justin Herbert right away. Justin Herbert.
Do you not see any bump in the road for Justin Herbert at all?
I mean, their defense has gotten better. Yep.
Right? That was something they addressed.
They got a good team, man.
They have a really good team. But now it is key.
A lot of pressure on them.
Expectations are there now. And that's something like we see athletes all the time that have special qualities and they have a chance to be great. But now I'm curious to see how he deals with the expectation of the pressure that is now set on his shoulders.
Me too.
It's a different type of game.
I think he'll be fine. He's not the problem. I worry about the coach.
They got to make the play. It will be on, like, whatever you want to say about the coach. As loaded as they are, as good as he is, it's a lot of pressure for him, Key, because you got to make the playoffs, right?
How can you be dismissive of the coach when the coach cost them 3 games? We weren't dismissive of Coach Lynn when Lynn was coaching him as a rookie.
So I don't understand
how Brandon Staley don't get the same treatment.
You can play the analytics and it doesn't work out, but next time it does, you know? Like, it can work out. It just, they didn't work out this time. It might next. But my bigger point, Key, is the division is so gangster, the AFC West, that you really might not make the playoffs. Any one of these teams.
We think, based on paper, in the spring is gangster. Because I'm not sold on Denver.
Okay, but even if not Denver, Key, then you look like the NFC West.
For all I know, the Raiders, they may not be what we think they are.
Oh, they look pretty good, though, don't
they? They look good on paper.
Fair enough.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, it might work out different.
It's only one team that I think, when I look at the paper, I say, ooh.
Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs.
Yeah. Because they've done it a bunch of times.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. You might be right. Maybe it plays out different. But at this moment,
to me,
he's got pressure on him. By the way, breaking news this morning, Tom Brady's going to join Fox Sports when he retires as a...
But nobody knows when.
As the analyst for games. Well, it's interesting because they have the Super Bowl this year, but not next year. So the year after, they do have the Super Bowl. You think Brady
thinks they got two of the next three.
Now we're doing that. Let's guess when Tom Brady will be calling the Super Bowl.
And who will be teams in it? That's fun.
Well, if Tom Brady doesn't wait to retire, he could be in the Super Bowl and broadcast. He could give him a headset on the field. What if it's New England and
Mac Jones?
Yes.
What if it's New England and Mac Jones versus Todd Bowles and the Buccaneers?
How much would Fox love that? Tom Brady's in the booth for Kyle Trask against Mac Jones in the Super Bowl. Rematch of the SEC Championship game 2 years ago.
Oh, God, you really dug deep for that.
I'm just ratings, baby.
I'm not there yet.
I'm just helping
Fox. I can't
Fox.
Jump to 2025. I'm focused on May 10th today.
back to your argument, Jay, about Tom Brady versus the basketball world.
I don't know why you don't at least see that that's somewhat closer than you try to make there to be like an ocean.
Did you know LeBron James coming out of high school?
Did I know LeBron James coming out of high school?
Yeah, coming out of high school. When he was coming out of high school.
Well, I was in the basketball community, yeah, but not everybody in the world knew LeBron
James. Yeah, everybody in the world did know
LeBron. I would say a lot of people.
He led ESPN. He led our ESPN coverage on Around the Horn most days when he was in high school.
In high school, did you know him? Yes, you did. All right? So, Scott.
So, you're telling me that Tom Brady is nowhere close to the fame that LeBron James has? That's what you're trying to say?
In this country.
I'm telling you right now.
Get out of here, man.
Tom Brady walking down the street. We got to get out of here. Greeny's next. Be back tomorrow, 6 a.m.
I almost said something. I didn't.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.